Welcome to episode 254 of the Tall Lake Talk podcast, and this is Casey.
And this is Chris.
And it's been a little while, but we're back, and I'm excited to be back, Chris.
Me too, Casey. I'm in a brand new location. Much has happened since the last time we were on the airwaves. I'm in a new home, in a new scope of life, I should say. And it's good to be back.
Very, very happy that you guys have found a better place. So we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming as we continue through the the next 50 episodes to 300. But in all the craziness, Chris, what have you been able to geek out on?
Oh, I mean, a month's worth of change in my life. Where do I begin? Maybe I'll begin with how I started playing Magic the Gathering after many years of saying I would never get into another collectible card game.
Yep.
So I run I facilitate a gaming club at my school, and the kids got me into it. They kind of pushed me over that precipice that I was standing on, and I got into it because I was really interested in getting the Dungeons and Dragons cards when the Forgotten Realms ones dropped.
Yeah.
And so I bought a Commander deck because we play Commander at school, and I bought one of the D&D ones. And then the other thing we'll be talking about shortly, I realized that they have special Commander sets for a Baldur's Gate release.
Yeah.
So they have a few different facets of Dungeons and Dragons within that world. And I was like, you know, I'll just stick to that. I'll just stick to that. And then all of a sudden, you know, they were like, oh, we're going to make a fantasy Western game. And you were like, hey, that sounds really familiar. West of Fantasy. I think they stole that from us, but I won't, you know, we probably can't sue them. It's a bit difficult. But whoever stole that idea from us is a genius, like us. But
exactly.
So that's the newest set dropping this past weekend. They're doing the preview weekend. And I'm going to get some of that too. They have these like training decks, these learn how to play decks as well. So I bought my wife and I the Lord of the Rings ones. And so you get like 260 card decks. We actually just spent today playing it a few rounds. I was teaching her how to play. And there's like an Assassin's Creed one coming out in July. The same thing. They're super cheap. So you get like two decks for $20. And they're like starter decks. They're just to learn how to play and have some fun with it. So, I mean, that's really what it is. It's just another slippery slope, my friend.
I did pre-order I guess we'll talk about it because we're talking about it, of the Outlaws of Thunder Junction. I did pre-order, and we're playing at the end of the month, me, Bob, and Jake. So I don't know. We have another guy who actually knows how to play, who's teaching us, and we're just going to pay him. He's just bringing it over.
Did you buy like a commander deck? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, Commander's awesome.
Geeking out, which you mentioned, which is Baldur's Gate. We both, as soon as Chris, I said when it came out, I said, when you're ready to get it, I will buy it that day. And so you finally did it. And I was like, all right. And so we bought it. And it's a staggering game. Yes. All right, so let's get into some Marvel news. This is just kind of cute. Spider Mondays, they're going to bring all the Spider-Man movies back to theaters on Mondays. All of them, the Maguire's and through Holland. So I would want to watch Spider-Man 2 for sure up on the big screen again. But I really would probably watch all of them. I don't know if I have the time.
Why not?
Right?
Why not?
That's a cool idea.
Honestly, even at its worst, it's still fun. And, you know, when one of the worst movies is Spider-Man 3, I mean, whatever. Still Sam Raimi. Still just some golden moments in that movie. So, and I'd love to see the Amazing Spider-Man movies and see Amazing Spider-Man 2 again. I love that movie.
I love that
movie. The soundtrack is epic. And, you know, is it a marathon? Or are they just like dropping them?
No, it's like once a week, 8 weeks. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it's super
spectacular.
Cool. Spectacular is amazing. But the big Marvel news I'd say this week is, I mean, we did get a look at Captain America, Civil World Order, you know, Sam Wilson is in that.
Indiana Jones.
We did get a look at that. I forgot about that.
No, I'm sorry. I was talking about Harrison Ford being in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, which is fine. You know, it's coming out. Am I excited? No. But you'll see what it's like.
You know, though, it was funny now that actually speaking of the Cinecom, is the Thunderbolts title card where it has an asterisk on it. And everybody's like so intrigued by this. So they showed off, like, Kevin Feige went on stage and revealed some details and whatnot and non-details. But apparently there's an asterisk after it, which a lot of people are assuming that there is the true Thunderbolts team on here, and that the one that we're seeing are just like the heroes.
Yeah.
But they're going to reveal the true Thunderbolts, like with Zemo and whatnot. So it's like Thunderbolts, but something, you know, else, you know, so it's kind of a tricky marketing that they're doing. So I would love to see this universe get back on track and us get some exciting movies that are great to watch, you know. So
speaking of exciting news for an exciting movie, potentially Julia Garner cast as Silver Surfer in Fantastic Four. So I actually don't know this actress. She's from Ozark and I haven't seen it yet. So I don't really know, but she's going to be in Wolfman, and that's exciting as well. But I will say I don't give a shit about the gender. Obviously that means nothing to me. Silver Surfer is a cosmic entity, but I'm more just like, whoa, Silver Surfer is going to be in this movie with the Fantastic Four. Like, that's the excitement for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Nonrad, right? It's Shalabal. You know, a version of the Silver Surfer. Right. So the MCU is going to, they're going to do the MCU stuff, and they're going to, you know, you're just bringing in a different character. And if you're going to do this kind of like deeper dive stuff, fine. That's what people have been asking for. And then they turn around and complain about it. So it's like, do you want just the run of the mill stories you've been getting since the early 2000s, the same stuff? Or do you want something new? Nobody really knows what they want, Casey.
No, they got to give it to him. Yep. That's it.
Spoon feed him.
That is it. Jumping over to comic book news, we have our Donald Duck Wolverine to celebrate the 90th anniversary of Donald Duck and the 50th anniversary of Wolverine. We've got some mashups of that. I saw the Peach Momoko cover today, which was, of course, great. As they are always great. So, yeah, just a fun little thing that we've been seeing these Disney mashups and celebrate those two anniversaries. This is a what if Donald Duck became Wolverine.
Yeah, it's fun. They've been doing those Disney 100 covers on The Amazing Spider-Man for the last year. And I think I got most of those because those are awesome. And just classic Marvel covers but done with Disney characters. So when I saw this, I was even more intrigued because I've been enjoying a lot of stuff from, you know, the anniversary of Wolverine this year. A lot of good stuff has dropped, and this is a nice added bonus.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. And then in video game news, we've got Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra. This is the Black Panther and Captain America video game. We've got, I mean, this came out of nowhere when it dropped, and we just kind of see more and more, and it keeps looking great, and it's coming out in 2025.
Yeah, I remember when they were talking about it as a rumor, and nobody really knew what to think about it, if it was like a real concept. But it's a great idea. It looks very story-based. I don't know who Skydance is. Skydance New Media. But, you know, Amy Hennig is involved, you know, from Uncharted fame. So I'm pretty stoked for a action-packed, story-driven video game that, you know, I usually enjoy.
Yeah. You know, I really hope we get at some point another Wolverine game, like the one from, I think it was either X-Men Origins. Right? Which was like so insane.
Well, I mean, that's what Insomniac's working on, is a Wolverine game.
Yeah, right.
We got teaser. Yeah. So, I mean, where's that game? I was really hoping that was going to come out for his 50th, but that probably got delayed somehow. But yeah, I'm really excited for that as well.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's a different level completely. If they're going to make another R-rated level Wolverine game. So, but remember,
with a crossover to Spider-Man.
Right, exactly. Do you remember though that Captain America game that came out like on PS3?
It was a great game.
It was very basic, but it was a great game.
It was like a Arkham mechanics.
Yes.
Yeah, it was great. Speaking of not so great things for us necessarily, Marvel Rivals is going to be coming to consoles. This is one of those 6v6 team-based free-to-play shooters similar to Fortnite. This is one of those things we talked about things we don't want to talk about, but yeah, this is
it's free.
We're talking about it. It's free. Try it
That's
out.
That's kind of the thing, right? This is the way you get characters out there. Kids are going to play it. Kids love this stuff. I mean, Punisher's in it. That's all I needed to know.
Yeah.
Not holding back.
Yep. So there you go. So, that's happening. So let's jump across the pond over to DC. We've got our Teen Titans live action movie is set. Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, scribe Anna Nogueira, she's going to write the screenplay. And this wasn't on their original slate of things that they talked about, right?
It was not.
This just came out of nowhere.
It was a pleasant surprise. I like it because it shows that, I like it because it shows that they're definitely going to go beyond what they originally planned. Sure, you know, volume one, chapter one, or where they were calling it Gods and Monsters. Where does this fall? Chapter two, right? Are they just going to add that to that slate? Does this fall under chapter one? Probably not, because it's not really Gods and Monsters, right? So, unless it's Trigon.
I mean, Beast Boy is a bit of a monster.
It is quite a monster. So, yeah, I'm super excited. I mean, it is my favorite DC team. Some of my favorite characters. And I really wonder how they're going to
see Nightwing. Literally Nightwing on effing big screen.
And it makes sense because we have, you know, the Batman and Damian movie. So Damian's already in that world and Batman's older. So they're doing it the right way. And instead of doing all this origin stuff, like, is this
all the team?
Right. Is this a Teen Titans movie? Is this a Titans movie? Is this kind of what they do in the comics now where the Titans have a new Teen Titans team? Like, what is it? Can't wait.
Whatever it is, we're on. Other things to be excited about. Superman. CinemaCon just revealed the logo, which is sticking with the Frank Quietly imagery that we've been seeing. Cool logo.
Yeah, Kingdom Come-esque. All of these great logos from Superman's mythos kind of mixed in together. Dropping the legacy part of the name just to be Superman, which has happened, you know, since we did the last show. You know, I'm really...
Oh, it is? Not Superman anymore?
No, they dropped it just to Superman.
Why do they do that stuff to me?
Why not? They can do what they like. I think it's a smarter approach, honestly. It's a Superman movie. That's why I was like, why are you calling the Batman movie Brave and the Bold? Like, stop getting fancy. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it. And then we got two castings. We got Wendell Pierce as Perry White and Terrence Rosemore as Otis. So we're just, you know, we're getting more and more of these classic characters brought on. James Gunn said that Lex Luthor is the main villain of this movie. We know there's a lot of stuff going on in this movie, other characters, there's been rumors, but Lex Luthor, Superman, it's on.
Yeah. I mean, does Lex Luthor team up with Brainiac? Does he create Bizarro? You know, like, because I think, wasn't that a rumor too?
There's some stuff, but we also have that one character from The Authority in it, right? Which is like, I forgot what her name is, but that was the original, I guess, villain that everybody thought it was going to be. But we all know, like, if that character becomes part of the Authority, becomes a good good guy, it's really probably Lex Luthor just trying to, you know, manipulate powerful beings to kill Superman or whatever.
Probably. So, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Is Lobo going to show up? Like, what is James going to do with? I mean, we already have a lot of these other Justice League characters in this movie as well. I'm just too excited for 2025.
That's it. Also in 2025, right? The Batman, or no,
2026. Right?
Yeah. So Batman 2 delayed a year, which sucks, but whatever, it comes out, it'll be great. And then we did get our trailer for The Penguin. I didn't watch it. Don't need to.
Yeah, you don't. There's nothing. It's a cool trailer.
Yeah.
And it's just really him talking and them just flashing scenes at you. So,
right.
And he's telling a story, and I can't wait. I had Colin Farrell transformation into this character. He did. And just the level of acting he brings to the role. And for them to do that for this character and to be centering around, I guess, kind of such a, like, he's more of an obscure character in the realm of Batman, because he's just, who takes him seriously? But you should. Because he's going to show you why.
And finally, showing us why was Joker 2 fully deduce or whatever it is. I just don't care. So the trailer to me didn't do anything for me. That being said, the fact that it's a musical and using like regular songs, you know what I mean? I would see that normally. So like, I'm going to see it, and I would have seen it anyways, even if it was just not a musical. But the trailer, it looked like the same scummy movie that the first movie was.
Yeah. As it should.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is a different telling. It's Elseworlds. The movie made it $1 billion.
$1 billion. Yeah.
You know, and I've watched it a few times, so it's not like I don't enjoy it. And I think that this approach more into the madness side of it will be interesting to see how they do it. Lady Gaga is a great actress too, you know, and is just like a very charismatic person. So I'm really interested to see what she brings to the role and how they treat the Harley Quinn character in this. And especially, you know, with it being a musical, you know, it's, you know, musical-esque, with her being a part of it. I think that was a really good way to approach it. So we'll see. Lots of dancing.
Lots of dancing. Then in comic book DC news, DC is back on Wednesdays. So comic book day will return to its normally scheduled time.
Full and rounded out again. Yeah, I don't know why they had to go against the grain. COVID. It was leaving Diamond. Setting the precedent. I don't know. Whatever it was, they're back on Wednesdays, and you can buy your comic books all on the same day or something. Dark Side.
There you go. So let's head over to a galaxy farthest away, the Star Wars world. Acolyte, we got our trailer for that. We've got a June 4th release, and I thought it looks great.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm intrigued. I am excited to see lightsabers, you know, actually being used.
Me too.
I mean, like Ahsoka does it. Ahsoka does it.
Getting back to basics of Star Wars, the detective take on it, the mystery really intrigues me. You know, I saw nothing wrong with it. So much flack for it, questioning how assassin with blades can take on, like, how are you going to fight Jedi with lightsabers if you have chainmail? I don't care. Looked great. Looks action-packed.
Yes.
And, you know, it makes me more and more interested in the New Republic or the High Republic, especially since, you know, some of these characters are carrying over from the books. Not all of them.
No, there's just one, the couple that are old.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's connected.
Yes, it is.
That was my biggest thing with the High Republic was like, hey, you know, and I say this all the time. It's like, we got books and comics for years. It's a great initiative. There's some really good storytelling, but this is what needed to happen since the beginning was...
They needed a live-action jump for it.
They need something of everything for it. Like, just go all in.
Right.
Animated series. Like,
right.
They have audiobooks, audio productions, not just audiobooks too. So I mean, the more you really round this out and flourish, it gets me more excited because this is what Disney did right, as far as taking a timeline and making it their own, even though it, you know, it crosses over some characters and whatnot. But I'm really excited for this show. I really hope it is good.
Yes, for sure. We also got a trailer for Tales of the Empire. Again, I did not watch this trailer. I really enjoyed their Tales of the Jedi. And I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that I will love this. I saw Thrawn and I go, yep, I'm done. I'm watching this.
This is one of the greatest Star Wars trailers I've ever seen in my life.
I'll watch it after we watch the show.
I didn't watch it until just the other day.
Yeah.
And I just was like kind of just blown away by the way it was just, I can't wait for it. I love that they, you know, I know you don't like the Dark Times era as much. And I know that people complain about how much they do in it, but this trailer, like in the stories they've chosen to tell, you know, I'm really excited for this show. I can't wait. And I hope they just keep doing these. As we've said before, when, you know, Tales of the Jedi came out, there's just a lot of farming to do, as far as these short stories and animated greatness that we've gotten from, you know, the Filoniverse and that those stories. So yeah, watch it. Or don't watch it. I don't know. I love the trailer. Oh god.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna watch the series. I'll watch the series. And then finally we have our Star Wars Outlaws trailer. This is the upcoming I think it's Ubisoft game. Yes. I'm gonna be honest with you. It didn't do anything for me.
Ugh.
Nothing.
Okay. I can't wait for this game. This is all I've asked for. So, I love the criminal aspect of the Star Wars universe. It reminds me of the prequel to Dark Forces that they released for PSP a little bit, as far as like the female character and little sidekick, which was a droid in that game. But that gave me those vibes. I will throw my controller through the TV if that guy's not Kyle Katarn. but no, you know what? I'm really kind of intrigued, but I love, you know, I want to do this GTA Star Wars universe game. And I want to go work for these or fight against these different syndicates. You know, it's again, that time period, I loved when they did War of the Bounty Hunters. Will they cross over with that kind of stuff? Hans and Carbonite. So
yeah,
there's a lot of stuff to do here, and there's a lot of characters that they
can bring in.
Yeah.
What about Dash Rendar?
Sure, exactly. There's so much opportunity here. Even we know he exists in this world.
Right.
I mean,
I guess let me say it like this. That trailer didn't do anything for me. Seeing the game itself has me excited. Granted, we still haven't played Outcast, and we need to.
Right.
Because I just like the first one.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that game is awesome too.
Yeah, I know.
Open world really intrigues me. Just going, getting on a starship, flying. Like, I want to see how they handle it. I want to see how good it is, and just live in that world. And we've waited for an open world Star Wars game for years.
Yeah, so for sure.
It's got a lot. You know, it's got a lot riding on it. And you know, I'll be cautiously optimistic. But I was also very happy when they first dropped the trailers originally. They released that gameplay trailer.
Yeah.
So they're like, look at what it is. And I like that gameplay, you know.
I like the gameplay a lot. Like, that's it. I like it a lot. All right, so let's jump over to the other Star World, which is Star Trek. Star Trek Origins movie is confirmed. So that will be coming out. Toby Haynes is going to be directing it with a screenplay by Seth Graham Smith, and J.J. Abrams is producer. So it's an untitled Star Trek origin story. I don't know what that means.
Star Trek feature film in parallel development to Star Trek IV. Oh, that was the earlier announcement. And then they decided they weren't going to do the Star Trek IV movie, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, where does it take place? That's it, right? Does it say a decades before Kirk?
And it's like, we've been watching Origins. So like, what, you know what I mean? Like, is it a Klingon movie? Is this Origin?
Honestly, that's what we need. Something like, we need,
you know what I mean? Like, something how crazy outside would of that Starfleet, be?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, we got all this Starfleet stuff. We have Strange New Worlds going on. We have
great Starfleet stuff. It's not even, you know what I mean? And we're getting, the Michelle Yeoh movie will be separate, but in that world.
Yeah, that's another side of the universe we've asked for as well.
Right. So
this is not anyway, as far back as Enterprise, right? So it's like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, where do you go? And we got four seasons of Enterprise, which is the origin. So
right. Interesting. Yeah, we'll see.
That's it. And then, so speaking of Strange New Worlds, it was renewed for season 4, and we knew that Lower Decks was ending, and that's going to end with season 5. So,
sadly,
officially kaput. We're going over to Crowd Sorcery, where the Todd Father has released just an insanely beautiful statue of the Batman Spawn crossover. Beautifully sculpted. They were asking for, I don't even know. They got it. They're going to make it. I think they're going to make like 500 of them.
How much is it?
It was expensive. I think it was like $500.
Jeez.
But you know what? Spawn and Batman are also getting a movie. I forgot. We didn't talk about that. They're getting the animated movie.
Which one are they? They're going to animate the original crossover?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. Yeah. Or that's maybe cool. They update it, but they're getting a Spawn. I totally forgot about it. I saw like the still from it.
Oh, well, that's so wild.
Yeah.
When we get that Spawn movie.
yeah, right. So
maybe you'll fund it with this statue crowdfunding extra money.
Yeah, that's it. So check that out. And then in Pursuit of Plastic news, the Dungeons and Dragons 50th anniversary Lego set came out. We both have it. I did not get the dice thing.
The mimic chest.
Is it in the box or no? Because I don't
have it. Okay. No, it came separately, and you honestly had to. You see it?
Yeah.
You honestly had to order it like within that first
five minutes.
Basically.
So stupidly, I didn't, but yeah.
Yeah. But as they said on here, we rolled a nat 20 on this. So I think it's genius, especially since, you know, they have that adventure with it, which you can get the free PDF.
There's a campaign with it.
You can play it
with the yes. So we'll leave the link in there for that if you still want to order it.
Well, I mean, it's back ordered till when?
I don't know.
2 months back ordered right now. That's insane.
We will leave you the link to back order. And with that, we will take our commercial break. Be right back.
DFAT Comics is the publishing branch of DontForgetATowel.com, the only place to travel geekly. Focusing on creator-owned and independent titles like Hollowed, Pursuit of Plastic, and Fairy, and many more. DFAT Comics will be a mix of genres appealing to every kind of reader. Join the new source of comic book entertainment with DFAT Comics.
There the bugger is. She's a big one, ain't she? Oi! Over 20 points of articulation, great sculpting, and look at the paint job on her.
We've been looking all over for this one.
Let's get them in our sights and end this hunt now.
All right. All right.
Steady. Steady now.
Got him!
It's the Pursuit of Plastic.
Listen to the podcast from the creators of DontForgetATowel.com. Geek out about toy news, hunting, and histories on your favorite collectibles.
From the far reaches of the galaxy to an internet location near you, we're DontForgetATowel.com, your daily source for geeky pop culture news, reviews, interviews, and so much more. So as you're hitchhiking your way through the universe, don't forget to travel safe, and don't forget a towel.
We are back after those luscious commercials, and Turtles Fever is at an all-time high, Chris.
It is.
Like, literally, we're going to be talking about Turtles multiple times throughout the rest of this podcast, so it's crazy. First up, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Nation. 5 new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic projects coming in 2024. 40th anniversary of the series. They're just, it's insane. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Alpha. It's going to be setting the stage for a new universe. We've got that Jason Aaron comic. We've got, like, there's a lot. Maybe we actually leave this leak in here because it's wild.
Yeah, if you're a fan of those like those comic books that are like one or three colors or whatever, you know, they're doing the black, white, and green even for this. Yeah, it's super radical, as they say. You know, Turtles 150 drops in a couple weeks, which is ending that run. And so, you know, this is a new news, but that Jason Aaron run will start in July. And okay. You know, with the I think it's 4 different artists to start, and then it'll become the normal run. What was that one you had mentioned where it was like The street level guy. Is that Alpha or
the Night Watcher?
Some vigilante one.
Yeah,
Night Watcher. Yeah. Like, I'm really excited. Because when they announced Jason Aaron was gonna write Ninja Turtles, what a great fit. One of our favorite writers. The tone that he could bring to it.
Yeah.
Very, very pumped.
It's wild. So yeah, super, super excited for that. Continuing again on with that, we're going to be getting a Turtles one shot actually from Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, never before seen cover for the 40th anniversary. Great. It's going to be fantastic. I'll be pre-ordering this. I'm ready.
The number of people that are attached to do work on this is insane.
Staggering.
Too. Or the oversized anthology, as they put it. So, tons of great covers. I'll be getting that Eastman and Laird one, of course. It's usually how I roll.
It's beautiful.
At least the Eastman ones. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, if you're a Turtles fan, this is the time to be alive for sure. So Berserker, you know, is also getting some spinoffs because they got to keep that party going. This one is A Face Full of Bullets. This is going to be taking the character during the Wild West times. I mean, here's the thing. He's immortal, right? Put him anywhere and it just makes sense. So, and then this is going to be written again by Jason Aaron. So this is awesome. Super excited about this. I'm down.
Me too. Now let's just get that live action that they've been talking about. Like, when's that happening?
Do you think he'll play, like Keanu Reeves would play the character?
I would love to see that.
Right? But like,
why not? Like, they could de-age him a little if they had to, but he's he's eternal, right? He doesn't age that fast.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see, but yeah, would love to see this in live action.
Isn't it a biography, really, or autobiography?
I think so. Okay. This one is what is the story of Godzilla, which is teaching kids the kaiju history. That's coming out in June. This is awesome. This is for 8 to 12 year old readers, explaining this awesome iconic pop culture destroyer of worlds.
I'm gonna buy this for your kid for Christmas.
She would love it.
I think so.
She would absolutely love it. Yeah. So Godzilla again, all these big anniversaries this year, you know, so it's great that we're getting stuff that we've loved, so it's great. And then we're gonna be talking more G.I. Joe news, but this one is the comic book. Scarlet and Destro will be getting their own titles to be expanding the Energon universe. Pumped. It's just been one of the most exciting things to happen in comics for a while, in my opinion. And
I agree. It's just so fun. I'm glad I didn't keep up on it after that initial binge, because I haven't read it since I finished reading. Probably when we talked about last show. So I have a bunch of ones to catch up on. And the fact that they're ending the two, you know, Duke and Cobra Commander, going right into two more characters with miniseries, and then we'll running the ongoings. It's a really smart approach. And I've just been trying to stay away from the spoilers online, but they're just there. And it's just every time I see something, I'm like, oh shit. But
yeah,
whatever I read is like, I need to get caught up. So it doesn't take long. So
it's a fun binge. Yeah. So very excited to see more of that world. So let's jump over to TV news. In Blade Runner 2099, will be, I guess, heading to the small screen. So that's going to be an Amazon one. Yeah.
Yep. Hey, I don't know, man. The guy who's doing Shogun will direct and produce the first two episodes. Speaking of, I should have mentioned that in Geeking Out, because I've only watched up to through four episodes. I am so behind on that show.
What?
Yeah, man. I got behind because I was at the hotel. And now I'm home. Now I've got my TV. I'm gonna binge that craziness.
Yes.
But yeah, I Blade Runner 2099, they want to skip 50 years every so often, and I love Blade Runner. I don't care. Even the sequel was good. Mm-hmm. This is a great idea to bring it to the small screen, serialize it a little bit, a different approach. I mean, Ridley Scott's still involved with it, right? So it's like...
Yeah, I mean, fine. This is fine. You know what I mean? Like, I'll watch it. We both like that world, at least. So let's check it out, see what's going on in it. True Detective renewed. The series creator signed a multi-deal with HBO to keep going. After Night Country's success, divisive as the last episode was, it makes sense that they're keeping it going.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a farmable world, no matter which way you take it. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, regardless of how divisive it was, like, Jodie Foster was great in it. The other actress was great in it. Like, I liked the talent they bring to these shows, right? And that's the big thing. It's like, these big name people show up for these anthology stories, and whether or not it's whatever they decide to approach it with, you know, I like to know. I'm excited to see what's next. So,
yeah, I mean, he's on a roll, right? Like, let's see what's happening.
Is he? He's not, because he was the one like down, like talking shit about this, the lady that did this season's. He was being a piece of shit about it. Remember that guy?
Yeah, that's true.
So he can. I don't like that kind of stuff.
No,
regardless
I don't like
what
that
your
either.
Opinion on a show is, yeah, it's why would you put down like the series you created, even if it's like going in a different
right.
I don't know. That's unprofessional. So whatever.
Agreed. Yeah. So William Gibson's cyberpunk classic Neuromancer is going to Apple TV. This is crazy to me. So Graham Nolan from Jack Ryan and J.D. Dillard are going to be behind it, showrunning it. And, you know, The Matrix, I would say, I don't know if stealing, but takes many liberties from Neuromancer in its creation behind the scenes. I'm excited to see what this means and where this could go, especially with Apple TV's budget.
No, I absolutely agree. I everything they put out that has to do with cyberpunk, just
we're gonna watch it
more and more, please, because it's just, I feel like it's been so untapped for a very long time, where you get things that are good, and then they get canceled. Or they're just not doing the right stories, or maybe it's time with how technology's caught up for TV to be able to do this stuff on the right scale. So you're right with Apple TV. I think that's the right host for something. Big budget. I am really excited for this.
Absolutely, me too. So that, you know, we don't know when it's going to come, but we will keep telling you about it because it sounds awesome. So the X-Men 97 creator, his name was, Bo DeMaio. Yeah. So he was fired from the show, which is a shame because the show is so incredibly good. And it already was renewed for a season two. You know, I guess I have concerns about the quality of the show, but then I don't know what the next showrunner is going to be like. Maybe they're even more of an X-Men fan. But, man, this show is so good. And this guy, he must really understand the X-Men because it's really fantastic.
Yeah, you and I talked about this a little bit pre-show. I just haven't had the chance to watch it. Probably will do that today. Definitely by the next show, though, so we can talk a little bit about it. Because if these, whatever happened in the last episode gets spoiled for me, and it's about to, every time I go online, I'm just going to be pissed. So I need to just watch it.
Yes.
It's interesting that the DeMaio was involved with Moon Knight and also with originally with the writing on Blade. So maybe a lot of it just is bad blood with what has been happening with the turmoil at Marvel Studios and the change up on Blade. But that, you're right, it's unfortunate, and we don't know how this is going to pan out, but hopefully it's not a one and done thing and they can salvage it somehow. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's it. So we'll see. So Monarch, the Apple TV show, is renewed, and they've confirmed that there's going to be spinoffs to continue the MonsterVerse. The Godzilla Kong movie is doing good at the box office, so just keep this whole world going.
It's insane to me. I went to see it opening night. We went with our school movie club. We took the kids. This movie has no substance at all. It's such a great time, though. I'll tell you that
right now.
And this is the discussion I've had with some people about Monarch. And Monarch is not, if you want like kaiju fighting goodness and insanity, then go watch these movies on the big screen. And they only get more and more like this, right? Mm-hmm. And they've definitely gotten a little less serious than before, but that verse was failing up until Versus, and Versus saved it. And so now with X or Buy or whatever you want to call it, making all this money, it's like we are in perfect shape. And now with season two being renewed, and I loved season one, like it was just, it reminded me of those great like shows from the 90s, early 2000s, like just like Fringe and shows like that, where it was just like, it was great to like start to kind of patch all of this world together, and do some of this historical stuff with like different characters in different decades. I thought that was very smart, and the star power, and then that beautiful Anna, whatever her name is, that's in Shogun, like, man, would become quickly like one of my favorite actresses. Like, she's in it. Oh, she's one of the main characters.
Okay.
So yeah, like that's where I first saw her, and I was like, whoa. So, yeah, I love that show, and I'm really happy, and I really wonder what spinoffs mean. Like,
yeah,
go Dan TV show.
Right. Exactly. But, Mothara. We'll see what it means, but yeah. All right, moving on. More heroes. Tim Krieg says Heroes Eclipsed is supposed to be set years after the events of the original series, which I remember during the pandemic, there already was a new Heroes and it was bad. So why is this still happening?
I thought it had already eclipsed. Oh,
right. You got that zinger in.
See you next year.
But yeah, like, do you care? Like, does anybody?
No. I'd rather just move on to this next thing, which isn't even like real news yet because it's not confirmed. But what I'm actually excited to watch is Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
More excited than ever when it's been getting rave reviews, and since it, all the episodes are dropped, it's all episodes, right?
Oh,
so
dude,
they're already talking about how this, what the season finale did and stuff. As a big fan of those games, I'm really excited to watch this, and just I'm so behind my shows that this one, this is going to get fast-tracked, I think. So hopefully, with a success, it's going to get renewed for season two sooner than later.
I would hope so too. Yeah. It's just the rest of us have to catch up. So let's jump over to movie news. Aaron Taylor Johnson was offered the role of James Bond. He has not confirmed if he's taking it or not, but personally, I'm more than happy if he's James Bond. I like that guy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I need to watch Bullet Train still.
You've got some of your favorite actors in that right there.
Yeah, I know.
Shogun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bullet Train is a great
insanity.
Movie. Yes. Speaking of insanity, we did get our Borderlands trailer. This is a little bit older news, but you know, we've been talking about Borderlands since we started this show, and it's a series of video games that we've played forever. The trailer is fine. I didn't get excited about it, but I didn't get turned off by it. I'm more like, okay, let's see how this goes.
In a world where video game adaptations are getting better.
Right, right.
And even stellar at times. I'm just very cautiously optimistic about this movie. It looks like Borderlands.
It does.
Every time I see Kate Blanchett in that, you know, as what's her name there, I'm just like, awesome.
Lilith.
So, it's looking good. So, and just, I don't know. My wife is like, I don't like Tiny Tina. I'm like, you haven't even seen the movie. Stop being me. So.
Right, right. I actually like that actress.
Yeah.
That she's in some other stuff too. So, yeah. Let's see how this goes. Speaking of things to see how it goes, we got the Crow reboot trailer. Again, a little bit older, but, you know, Crow. This trailer, it's fine. It's like it not even bad. It's just, you know, I don't know. I try it. I don't know if I need to see it in the theater.
Right. You know what, man? I honestly don't know the filmmakers. Right. And I think I will do that anyways, because being such a big fan of the original movie, I just don't understand why we have to reboot the original movie. The Crow can be any
tale as old as time.
Any tale, right? So why do we have to do Eric Draven? Why do we have to have it so it's like, oh, this isn't the Brandon Lee. This is an insult to the original movie and blah blah blah. So I just, when you reboot something like this and you put it up against such a classic, people are gonna just talk shit about it. So like you said, let's see what happens. I love the idea of the Crow, so I just don't understand why we couldn't just have a different story, but whatever.
It's, you know, it is also, I will say, it's a 90s movie. It isn't like it's 30 years, like, it can be rebooted, but it's whatever. Mm-hmm. Turtles. Turtles news. Mutant Mayhem will be getting a sequel set for 2026. Those movies take forever. I mean, like, that animation's insane. So I get how it's going to take a long time. I'm just excited we're also getting that cartoon in that world to kind of tide us over. You know, different animation style, cheaper animation style. Are you ready for it?
I am. And we'll talk about it in a little bit too. You know, the game basically is going to be the in-between chapter. So they're doing a great job with this. You know, I like that movie. Some of the stuff that they do in it is definitely for a new generation. It's a really neat looking movie, like Spider-Verse level animation, like what they do with it. I just, you know, I was not a big fan of some of the character choices and stuff like that, but I don't care because it keeps Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles alive, and that also means we get things like this next piece of news, which is definitely for us, you know, like aimed towards us, made for us. Like when the last Ronin comic came out, it just kind of changed how he looked at Ninja Turtles once again. That they took this approach, the Tom Waltz comic, and I'm really excited that they've decided to move ahead with a live action movie. We've really kind of were talking about this for a long time. Is it possible to do it? Would they do it? But now it's like you can have all these different levels. If Marvel can do Deadpool rated R, that just opens the floodgates for the fact that we can accept different levels of maturity in our in our pop culture genres. So
I agree. And so, you know, I didn't realize that Walter Hamada had jumped over to Paramount, and so he'll be producing it. You know, I understand there was some allegation stuff, which is why he left DC or Warner Brothers specifically. That being said, well, I guess it was DC Films. I think Walter Hamada tried at DC. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think like, I think he does have enough of a track record that I think he could probably get this to be a pretty decent movie.
I think everybody tried at DC. I think that the Warner Brothers executives messed it up.
Yeah. That and also
you know what?
True.
Like I can accept a lot of stuff that happened. Like some of the storylines, the changes that they want to make, Zack Snyder, like there's highlights there, but this, him jumping over there has left the door open for James Gunn and Peter Safran to do something new with DC Studios, you know, or whatever, like DC Films or whatever. And now we get something like this with The Last Ronin and just spreading the wealth of creating, you know, more and more of this media. So, and if, you know, somebody who knows how to get this stuff done is in charge of it, well, and they're allowed to be in charge of it and do what they, you know, let the creative minds work and create this stuff without too much studio interference, well, we're all going to be better for it. So
that's it. I agree. So excited to hopefully they go with puppets. You know, that's my dream is people
Jim
in
Henson?
Suits again. Yes. Could you imagine? Like seeing like or even like.
Yeah.
Well, we won't get it, but that Leonardo, you know, that footage that came out, like someone did it in like CGI and it was like dark and gritty. It was like this could happen someday.
Yeah.
So, oh, man. Kevin Smith has a new movie called The 4:30. It's set in 1986. It's a coming of age comedy about three kids who sneak into movie theaters. Like, just sounds exactly. I sent it to Chris Seaver and I was like, did you write this? So, yeah, I'm excited for this one.
Cool. I didn't even hear this. I just I was just putting all my DVDs away today and I came across all my Kevin Smith movies. It's like I watched these in a long time.
So, it's time to come
back. We're watching in seventh grade when we're watching Mallrats all the time at your house.
That's so. All the time. there's for some reason a new Matrix movie coming out. I will say though, this is good. Drew Goddard is writing and directing it.
Yeah.
So that's
a gleam of hope right there. Listen, I don't know. I mean, why not? I mean, did you not, what was it, the last one? Revelations?
I hated it.
Yeah, you didn't like the whole concept. I wasn't a big fan of it, but I think there's room for more.
Resurrections,
Resurrections, that's what it was.
I think if you did, remember in the Animatrix, where they showed you the beginning, like the robot revolution, and how the Matrix was formed, that I would watch that movie.
You have watched it.
Yeah, it was in the animation form. Yep.
They would just ruin it for you if they made it live action.
Yeah, I don't know. So, anywho. Maggie Gyllenhaal is teaming back up with Christian Bale for her movie The Bride! And Christian Bale will be Frankenstein's monster. Or no. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He's Frankenstein's monster. Yes.
There's a picture here.
Yeah. Oh. So. So yeah, she wrote it, directed, and producing the film, and I think it's going to be in black and white.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. You're a big Frankenstein fan.
I am. So I am excited to see something in this world that's not necessarily, you know, a Universal monster movie, but, you know, it's a different take.
Have you taken my suggestion to check out the Toho Frankenstein movies yet?
No, I haven't seen those yet.
Oh, I guess I'll share that link with you.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if we did this. Okay. Transformers and G.I. Joe crossover movie officially happening, you know, at the end of, I mean, sorry, it's a spoiler, but the end of Rise of the Beast. They hint at it. And you know, this is something that we've talked about many times over throughout the years because they've been talking about it since 2014. So it's finally happening. We don't know what it's called, blah, 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 blah. But, the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover movie will be released in theaters in 2025 or 2026.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, wish they would just adapt those Skybound books, but We'll see.
We don't know that they won't.
Right. It's true.
They don't know.
I mean, they can't at this point with the story's already happening. If it's
yes
coming out of Rise of the Beast. So they could do some fun stuff, but not what we're experiencing in the comic pages though.
No, I highly doubt. CinemaCon showed Transformers 1. This is going to be the origin kind of story of Optimus and Megatron's, you know, falling out of brotherhood. They're best friends. This is animated. This is voiced by Chris Hemsworth as Optimus Prime. And Scarlett Johansson's voice is in it. Steve Buscemi, John Hamm. So it's going to, you know, I don't know what the animation style is yet, but we have a trailer coming out on April 18th. So probably next episode, we'll get to tell you what we thought of that trailer.
Is this another 40th anniversary? It is, right?
Of the animated, yeah.
The movie, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if they say there hasn't been an animated Transformers movie in 40 years, they never did like any of the other ones, like nothing on Netflix or anything. They're just saying a big one that goes to theaters. Cause like yeah. Transformers went to theaters. G.I. Joe, the movie did not go to theaters. Right. I believe back in the day, I don't think it did.
I don't know. Yeah.
I was reading an article the other day because they're so closely related. And I was showing one of the kids at my school, one of the kids I play Magic with is a Transformers fan. He actually got he went and got those Transformers Magic cards. Have you ever seen those? They're double sided. Yeah. Oh God. So he loves that movie. And so I turned on the G.I. Joe movie for him. And it was like, he's like, cause he's a big Starscream fan too. And I was like, listen to Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? Is that the same voice? I'm like,
they're
the
yep.
same. It's the same character. same character, exactly.
Speaking of the same but new, is Glenn Powell will be taking on the title star of Running Man, which will be Edgar Wright's reboot of the Schwarzenegger movie from 87, which was based off of the Richard Bachman / Stephen King short story or novel. I think it's a novel.
It was funny. Those social media things where it's like, search the number one movie when you were seven or something like that. And this was it.
I love this movie so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I've watched it many times. I like Glenn Powell. I think that guy's a good actor. I love Edgar Wright, so this is fine. again, it's not so sacred to me that I don't think, like, I don't think anything's sacred, to be honest with you, because, like, there's sometimes, like, the reboot's better. It doesn't right. happen often, but, like, the Fright Night reboot, it's a good movie. It's not as good as the original, but if you just called it something else, I would go, oh, that's a really good vampire. You know what I mean? It's good.
Great movie.
Yeah. So, you know, it just doesn't, I don't give a shit if you reboot it. I think you should come up with original ideas in general, but also they tweaked a lot of Fright Night and they've tweaked sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Dawn of the Dead reboot, it's a great movie. So anyways, we'll see how this goes.
Great examples.
Great examples. Finally, we have our Avatar The Last Airbender animated movie castings. Dave Bautista will be the villain. Eric Nam will be adult Aang. So this is going to take place much later. Aang will be a father. And I think it's coming to theaters next year.
I think so. Yeah, this is
October 10th, 2025. Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool. Another show I need to watch on that I haven't watched yet because people really liked it a lot. And
I know. I've tried.
To watch it.
I've tried.
The original?
Yeah.
I mean the new Netflix show. That's what I'm saying.
Oh no! You know what?
I love the show.
Anything. I'll watch that and like it. That the live action for sure.
You need to watch the cartoon in full. It takes a little bit that first season. Like those first few episodes, first 10 episodes are kind of like, and then it just.
And it changes. All right.
For sure.
I'll give it a chance.
The show. I love the show, and it's like I waited a long time to watch it. You know, I didn't watch it when it first came out. I didn't want to watch it when it first came out for some reason.
Didn't appeal to me.
I was in college, I think. I think, you know, we were in early college. So I love it. I think it's a really great story, and it's just, it holds up, and I'm really glad that the live action has gotten as much love now. So it's good.
It's Avatar fever. Yep. Going over to the gaming world, back to G.I. Joe, we've got Wrath of the Cobra. This is going to be a classic beat 'em up, you know, featuring some cut scenes that are animated, which are pretty cool. Some new characters, you know, I think it looks fun. It's another, I like that they're doing these arcade beat 'em ups.
Yeah, me too. The Ninja Turtle one was great. This one, like, features vehicles and more. You know, as it should from the G.I. Joe world and all the weapons and stuff like that. So, you know, that what was that first person shooter that was so horrible that came out, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was such a disappointment.
It was not good. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we're like, oh, a G.I. Joe game.
I think we paid for it.
Of course, you know, it was like $30.
Yeah.
It was
definitely
not worth $30. This, you know, if this is like Shredder's Revenge, this could be even better than Shredder's Revenge. Even. So we'll see.
There we go. You put this one on. Can you talk about this? Because I didn't even know this is a thing.
Yeah. So, you know, I love these kind of games. So Endless Ocean is going to be on Switch. And so it's going to be, you know, it's big open world. And so you can actually do it as with multiplayers as well. And so it'll be released on May 2nd. And you'll get all your... all of the scuba diving you need, virtual scuba diving that you need. You know, it's just these kind of peaceful games, I think, are a really interesting, like, way to, it's just such a different way to play video games. And just to kind of have, like, to be meditative almost. And I love the ocean. So I'll be checking this out.
I agree with that. Yeah. 100%. Like, oof, this looks great.
Yeah.
Like you said, it looks like therapy.
Yep.
So here we go. Another beat 'em up. This time the Turtles. Continuing this Turtles fever. This is going to be coming to the Switch. This is Wrath of the Mutants. This follows like the 2012 animated series. And in fact, all of the same voice actors, Seth Green, Sean Astin, Rob Paulsen, Greg Sipes, are all returning to do the dialogue. I like this series. These are actually some of my favorite figures are from this line. And I like Turtles Beat 'em Up. So here we go again.
Yeah. No, that's all you got to say. Like, this is a great TV show.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it's just one of those ones that if I did a good job with kind of tweaking things, but staying the same. And I love that they're still making content for that, you know?
Yeah. So they haven't given up on it. No.
Right. Especially with this next one that they're doing more and more stuff with Mutant Mayhem, but it's a plethora of Ninja Turtles.
Well, we talked about it on It Crept from the 80s. We did a Turtles episode, and I think because he was like, you know, you were such a huge He-Man fan when you were a kid. And like, how did you get out of He-Man and get, you know, stay with Turtles? And I was like, because Turtles never left. Like, a lot of things left. Even Star Wars left for a bit. You know what I mean? Whereas Turtles has never stopped. And it's never stopped being good. You know, Transformers is another one of those franchises that has lasted, at least in cartoon form, but Turtles is like comics, toys, cartoon, like video games, movies. Like, it's never stopped. And now it's peak, which is insane. It's probably at a higher point now, if not even higher, because it's in so many different genre, you know, forms of accessibility than it mm-hmm. was in the 80s. Like, it's insane to me.
Exactly.
But it's never left. It's just never gone. So
nope.
So it continues with, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutants Unleashed, which is another game that's going to be coming out. This one should be coming towards the end of this year. Just kind of in between the time period, right? It's after the movie. So
continues the story.
Yeah.
It's got local totally co-op.
We're there, man. So excited.
Cowabunga.
We got that Last Ronin, you know, video game coming out at some point, too. Rated R video game. Like, jeez. All right, so Turtles Fever. Here we go. We've got Vampire Survivors is officially coming to PlayStation, and it's also getting a Contra DLC. What? Oh my gosh, the wolf Brad Fang is coming in there. Jesus. This game.
They don't stop. That's the beautiful thing about this game.
For sure. I need to go back into it. And it's the easiest game to get into.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes. It's all you get to survive.
That's right.
So if you guys, you know, we've talked about Vampire Survivors ad nauseum on this show. Please go play it. It's cheap. And it's one of the most entertaining things you will ever play. I guarantee it. I don't know anyone who doesn't like that game. Jeez. Okay. speaking of great games, Sonic Mania Plus is now available on Netflix. You can play that game. And, you know, just Android, iOS, now Netflix.
What is that? It's just...
It's kind of like... Mania? It's an homage to those old, like the ones, the original Genesis ones.
Okay.
So.
But just updated?
Yeah. I think it's like a fan made it. And then Sega was like, yeah, you can do this.
Isn't it nice when they do that instead of shutting down your project?
I'm pretty positive that's you up in how jail. It went. Yeah. I don't think Sega itself made it. But. And then finally, in things we never knew that existed, but we are excited that they're coming. Terminator Survivors. I don't know why we need an open world survival game set in the Terminator franchise, but that's what we're getting.
You don't know why? Because we need to learn how to survive against AI immediately.
Yeah.
If we don't, it's over. So this is AI survival 101.
Yeah.
Put your VR set on.
Right.
Call John Connor.
Call him up. Solo. co-op or groups of four.
Oh my God.
You know, I don't necessarily, you know, I'm just not a big first player shooter, but that's me. A lot of people are. But because it's Terminator, I'm going to try it because it sounds freaking sweet. So we did get a trailer for that and a release date for this fall.
All right. So it comes out for Steam and then later on PS and Xbox. Okay.
Yeah. October 24th. Apparently just days before the 40th anniversary of the franchise's launch.
Did you say 40th? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Isn't it insane how many anniversaries are this year?
I mean, that's the thing, man. Is like, this is our generation. Wow. This is our fandoms. Like, this is why we are who we are today is because of all of this stuff. That's why this show exists, because it's the greatest generation of pop culture ever created. And now it's like we're adults and we're still loving this stuff, and we bring it back for these anniversaries, and it gets even more popular, and new people can enjoy it, young and old. So thank you, and you're welcome at the same time.
Chris, couldn't agree more. Where can you find us?
We're all over the interwebs at don'tforgetitalo.com and dfanentertainment.com. On the social medias at DFATENT. Check it out. I think we're on at least two of them.
At least two of those. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Thank you guys for hanging in there. I know we had like a little bit of a shakeup of life, but we're excited to get back and get back on the airwaves and geek out with you. So this is Casey saying go read your comics.
And this is Chris saying, don't forget a towel.